Our reading for today comes from the Gospel of John, and it can be viewed as two separate but related stories. The first of these stories is an account of Jesus' post-resurrection appearance to his disciples, and it takes place in a locked room in a house. The second story is where we find Thomas, or doubting Thomas as we call him, Thomas who refuses to believe that Jesus appeared to the rest of them until he can see it for himself. We find these stories at the very end of John's gospel. Jesus has been crucified and hastily placed in that tomb before the Sabbath comes. And then 3 days later, Mary Magdalene goes down to the tomb so that she might prepare the body for a proper burial. And she finds the tomb empty. She runs to get Simon Peter, and she tells him what she's discovered at the tomb. And so he and another disciple, they run back to the tomb to confirm what Mary had said. It appears they didn't quite believe her. And the tomb was indeed empty. And so they go back and go home. Mary, meanwhile, returns to the tomb, and not knowing what else to do, she just stands there, weeping, until Jesus approaches her. And she doesn't immediately recognize him until he calls her by name. And then, after spending some time with Jesus, she returns to the disciples and announces, "I have seen the Lord." The first part of our reading takes place immediately after that, later that same day, towards evening. And the disciples are gathered together in this house, and they've got the doors locked because they are afraid of the authorities. They assume that they are considered to be criminals because of their association with Jesus. They don't know if the Jewish authorities were rounding up all of Jesus' known associates, and if so, they would be at the top of the list. And while they're huddled in that locked house, Jesus somehow appears among them. And Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." He then shows them his hands and his sides, the wounds of his crucifixion, as proof of his identity. And in response, the gathered disciples rejoice. And Jesus says again to them, "Peace be with you." And then he adds, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathes on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, this part of our reading is wonderfully self-contained. It is a complete story. We can take this story and walk away with it. Jesus appears to the disciples, and he sends them out. But it doesn't end there, does it? It continues on with this second part, the part about Thomas. Thomas, it seems, was not in the house when Jesus first appeared, and he was reluctant to accept the word of his fellow disciples when they told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas replies to them saying, "I need to see it with my own eyes. I need to touch him myself. I need to put my finger in his wounds, and then I'll believe." A week goes by, and again, all the disciples are gathered together, and this time, Thomas is with them when Jesus again appears, even though we are told the doors have been shut. Again, Jesus comes in and he says, "Peace be with you." And then he turns to Thomas and he says, "Put your finger here. Feel the holes in my hands. Reach out and touch my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And then Thomas responds with this powerful confession of faith and belief, "My Lord and my God." Jesus then asks him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Over the centuries, we've attached the adjective doubting to this man, Thomas, because of his reluctance to believe in Jesus' appearance. However, this nickname, Doubting Thomas, it's rather unfair, isn't it? For one thing, early on as a disciple, Thomas committed his life to Jesus. He's the first of the disciples to do so. At one point, Jesus is heading into what is certain danger. The authorities are looking for him. And Thomas says to the other disciples, "We're going with him so that we may die with him also." There's no question of Thomas's commitment to Jesus. And then secondly, Thomas is not the only one who has difficulty in believing in the risen Jesus. None of the disciples believed until they first saw Jesus themselves. Mary, for example, when she discovered the empty tomb on Easter morning, she told the others, and well, two of them had to go back and check it out for themselves. Her word apparently was not good enough. And then after Mary encountered Jesus that day, she went back and reported it to the disciples. Yet it wasn't until Jesus appeared to them in person that they actually believed that he had risen. All Thomas wanted was proof. He wanted to believe, but he wanted to see for himself. If everybody had been like Thomas, then the Christian movement would have quickly evaporated. Jesus only appeared to a limited group of people. Few new believers got the personal meet and greet with the risen Christ in order to bolster their faith. But the movement did not die. It flourished. It flourished because of the testimony of those who themselves had seen the risen Christ. In the book of Acts, we can find at least 10 instances in which eyewitnesses affirm the resurrection of Jesus. These testimonies, they're crucial to the belief of the following generations. But more than just the spoken testimony of the resurrection, equally important is the revealed testimony. That is the testimony found in the actions of believers, actions that are taken in the name of Jesus. Three times in our reading for today, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And this is more than just a polite greeting. This is a blessing. Jesus is offering his peace to his people, his shalom, his wholeness, his healing. We, as Christians, we can tell people of Jesus' resurrection, but many of them are going to be like Thomas. They're going to want some evidence, and that evidence can be found in the peace of Christ, a peace that we can bring to this world. We can bring this peace to people through our acts of kindness and compassion, by loving our neighbors, by imitating our Christ. When we reach out to another who's in need, we are then extending the peace of Christ. The proof of Jesus' resurrection can be found in the voice of Scripture, and in the acts of the faithful. It is Jesus' charge to the church that we are to spread this peace. The power that Jesus gives to us to do this is the power to forgive. After sharing the Holy Spirit with his disciples by breathing on them, he then tells them about forgiveness. They have the power to be forgiving. Forgiveness, as we know, is a powerful healer. Jesus says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." The people of Christ have the power to bring healing by forgiveness. Last week, I was here at the church into the evening when the doorbell rang. Nobody else was here, so I went to the door. And there was a young man standing there. I asked if I could help him. And he seemed a bit nervous and anxious, and he asked me where the meeting was. And I asked, what meeting? We have a number of groups that meet here. And he told me the AA meeting. And so I explained to him that the AA meeting, they didn't meet in this building, but instead they meet in our annex across the parking lot. And I pointed over at it. But I was a bit confused because normally when they meet, there are cars in the parking lot, and there were no cars there at that time. And it didn't appear there were any lights on at the annex. So I told the young man, I said, look, let's walk over there together and we'll see what's going on. And as we're walking across the parking lot, he asked, are you the pastor of the church? And I went, yeah, I'm the pastor. And then he sort of realizes what he's done and he begins to apologize. I'm so sorry that I'm bothering you right now. And before I can even cut him off and say, really, it's okay, he looks at me and he says, I'm really trying, you know. And I said, I know you are. And that's why I want to make sure that we get to this meeting. I could have just pointed and said, go over there, go around, there's a door. I don't know if he would have made it. He might have lost his nerve because clearly this was a difficult step that he was taking that night. And it seemed important that we get him over. And so we get over to the building, and yes, they are having a meeting. They had parked out on the street, and I introduced him to the person in charge and wished him well, and I left. Clearly, this young man has had a rocky past, and he was clearly nervous about what he was doing that night. And I didn't know him. He hadn't done anything ever to offend me in any way. But on the behalf of the church, I wanted to express to him forgiveness. Now, honestly, I wasn't thinking in those terms at that time. I just wanted to help him find a meeting. But reflecting on this passage from the Gospel of John about Jesus coming into the room and saying, peace be with you, and talking about forgiveness, I realize that I was offering the forgiveness of the church to him. I was a representative of the church, not because I was pastor, but because I answered the door. Could have been any of you, and you would have done the same thing. You would have said, oh, they meet in the annex. Let me walk you over there. Any of us would have done that. As a church, we have the ability to offer Christ's healing power. It is proof of the resurrection. Now, what I did wasn't a big deal. It took me 5 minutes. I enjoyed getting up and stretching my legs. He was a nice young man. He was very thankful. But looking back, as I said, it was important. And maybe it was helpful to him on this journey that he is on to be able to extend to somebody the message that you are cared for. I may not know you, but we do care for you. And there is healing in that. When Thomas proclaimed, my Lord and my God, Jesus asked him, have you believed because you have seen me? And it could sound as if Jesus is scolding Thomas, but I don't believe that he is. I think Jesus is just stating a fact. Thomas believes because he has the privileged opportunity to view the risen Jesus himself. And Jesus recognizes this and tells Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. You've seen me, Jesus says to Thomas. Others won't. Through history, others will not see me, but they will be just as blessed as you are. On this Sunday, following Easter, it is the same day that Jesus appeared to Thomas in that house. We can be sure that many have heard the news of Jesus' resurrection, that news that we proclaimed so loudly last Sunday. But this is a different week. It's not Easter Sunday. It is the rest of the year. And for the rest of the year, we need to continue to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus through our words, but also through our actions as well. We need to demonstrate to the world what the writer of Hebrews would later describe as the evidence of things not seen. We can't see all of these things that we do, but they're there. And with them, we share to the world the presence of Christ that is in our lives, the peace of Christ that is in our world, so that we might proclaim His presence to all we meet. Amen.